Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's watch the movie today.
Yeah.
And then she had no idea. And then it cuts off. And then it's you doing what?
Proposing.
On television.
Well, on the DVD.
You had a sign?
Yeah.
So on this DVD.
That you had made.
On this DVD, it cuts off. And it's you holding a sign saying, Carrie, will you marry me?
Uh-huh.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's a very, very thoughtful proposal. I got to give it to you, man.
What was her reaction, man, if you don't mind my asking? She started crying?
Tears, yeah.
She said yes.
Dude, sweet one. Mm-hmm. How'd you come up with that one?
I just kind of thought about it because I knew we'd be, you know, I knew that she's like one of the, he was talking about how his, you know, girl's suspicious. And so, and my wife probably is the same. Like if we would
I see
done,
what you're saying. If you're we going were, out somewhere.
She knew it was probably coming, like, so, you know, within the next couple months or whatever. And so, if we would have done something special, like gone somewhere, I think she would have known that something was coming. So I had to, you know, keep it simple.
I think I had a good one. You want to hear mine?
We know yours.
What?
Lichterman.
No, that was not what I did. I went to Go Ape. You know what that is? It's Shelby Farms.
Yeah, we saw it. You were swinging from the lines.
It's a zip line.
You've told this story like 30 times.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't know I had told it or not.
And it's almost as good as Riaz's.
Almost as good.
Mm-hmm.
What was your big plan?
I just told you I was on a boat on the Mississippi. Had the sun going down on one side, and the moon on the other. Nothing more romantic than that.
And what did you say?
Oh man, I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean,
I bet you had like this real chocolatey, like real.
Nah,
you laid
bro.
It on thick.
Nah, bro, I was shaking.
You
My
were.
My voice was trembling. Yeah, because I don't know. I might. Yeah, it. I had the ring. I was ready. Right. But when it came time to do, bro, I almost dropped the ring over the side.
And you paid a lot of money for that ring.
No doubt about it. And, I ended up shaking, but what actually brought me out of it was, like, the people that had stopped to kind of look and see what was happening, the kind of look on their face, because my whole thing was, I'm not going to lie to you, my whole thing was, you didn't come a long way solo, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, you didn't want to give it up.
Well, you know, you just want to be sure.
You didn't want to give up the life of the bachelor.
Dude, I was sweating my wedding in Jamaica. Well,
that's because it was humid outside, not because you were nervous.
That's because you're 50-50.
Oh, you were 50-50 at your wedding.
Dude, everything changes. Let's keep it real. Like, I was in love, but you don't understand,
John. You should decide before that day if you really want to go through it or not.
Oh, I had decided, John, but you can still get a little twinge of nervousness.
Yeah, of
you know
course.
What I'm saying?
Not because I don't know if I want to marry this woman
When
or
you
not.
Think about hitching the rest of your life, all of your problems, right, as a person, all of these issues you have, me, self-centered, all that now transfers over to her, not to mention her stuff coming to me.
Right.
That now all becomes my problem. So you could probably sense a little bit of, and look, I was older, like I said, I'd had a nice life solo dolo.
And it was time.
But it was absolutely time. It was time to share.
And now you have a beautiful baby boy.
Could not have made a better decision.
Who's going to grow up to be a Grizzly fan or Laker fan. It's his decision.
Oh, he's straight Grizz.
Okay, he's giving up on the Lakers?
Yeah.
They're tanking?
He can. He's done. He didn't see a future with them.
Well, beautiful stories by all of you. I have a romantic story for you that we actually know of. A guy we know, Ernie Kuiper. You know how he proposed to his wife, Carly?
Mm-mm.
In his car on the way to dinner. He just backed out of the driveway and said, do you want to do this? So that's Ernie. Isn't that romantic?
Direct.
Yeah, very direct. Sometimes you just don't need
Some
to dress
Some women
it
may
up.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Some,
More
you
so.
Know, Ernie straight to the point, you know, like when he got Nathan Hoover, you know what I mean? To play for M33M, one of his very own.
Mm-hmm. And then he heard, got him right on back.
Yeah, but Ernie... You know, it was the time in between.
That's when he made the real jump.
It was the time in between when, you know, you really put the magic, you know.
Everybody
it,
fighting over Hoover.
we'll talk to him.
Don Deaton helped as well.
We're going to talk to Nathan Hoover about who he's really with. I'm just kidding. We're
not he's with everybody.
He is with
and
everybody.
Memphis is with him.
He's one of our own. We all claim him.
That's
we'll talk to Nathan Hoover at 12:25. When we come back, Memphis continues to be a sports town, continues to show it's a sports town. How do they do it? I'll give you some data when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Landers Auto Sales, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, which it being tax time, you just might be, I recommend heading on down to Landers Auto Sales in South Haven. That's where I'd go if I was in the market for a new vehicle. It's where I got my Jeep Wrangler. And they got lots of cars down there. They got small SUVs, large SUVs, compact cars, luxury cars, trucks, vans, whatever it is you need, they got it. Price starting at just $29.90. If you have a specific vehicle in mind that they don't happen to have in stock, don't worry, let them know. They're going to go find it for you, because down at Landers, you, the customer, are the priority. And you'll feel that when you go down there and you're shopping for a brand new car. Again, they're located on Goodman Road in South Haven, or you can visit them on the web, landersmemphis.com. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. Nathan Hoover is going to join us at 12:25. The Wofford Terriers are headed to the NCAA tournament. So we will talk to Nathan about that.
Red hot.
His thoughts on the season and more. But right now, we got to do the rundown. Let's get it.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest midday stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM, ESPN. First story.
Nothing gets my blood pumping like television ratings. If you haven't been able to know,
time on that lately.
If you haven't noticed, well, because it's interesting. I'm always interested in, you know, what the top markets are for certain things. Yesterday, I brought you the news that Memphis was the number one market in the nation, in the entire country, for Arsenal Manchester United, even though it did not include you, weirdly. Right? I'm assuming you were not plugged into that one.
Nope.
Incredible.
Don't hold it against me.
Incredible. We won't. We won't. Just this once. But next weekend, you got to be tuned in. All right? You promise? To the next Premier League match, you'll be tuned in.
Dude, I'm doing good to watch 901 FC, okay?
That's true.
And that's who I care about supporting.
Well, we got more news. We got more news on television ratings. So ESPN earlier today released some data on college basketball and the top markets for college basketball. So let's go through them. For men's basketball, here is the top five. You ready?
Give it to
me. This is for ESPN broadcast, right? For the season. Number one, I'll just ask, just trivia. Just, I'm only going to ask your name, the number one. Who is it? What's the number one market for college basketball in the United States?
Somewhere in North Carolina.
Close. It's Louisville. Louisville is the number one market for college basketball. Number two is Knoxville. So Tennessee fans have been plugged into college, but they got the number. At one point they had the number one team in the country, so that makes sense.
Yeah, for a few weeks.
So Knoxville is number two. Raleigh Durham is the third
There's
ranked market.
Raleigh Durham.
Greensboro High Point, which also, I mean, Tubby Smith really has reinvigorated the interest level there in High Point, in Greensboro, North Carolina.
One, two, three, four,
fifth. They finished fifth. Mm-hmm. Old Tubby.
Just like Memphis.
He just is fifth.
Tubby's saying Memphis finished fifth too.
Yep, they played a tougher schedule. Tubby in the league was better.
Yeah, but did you beat a top 25 ranked opponent?
Oh, did they?
What you got for that?
Did they lose to East Carolina though, Tubby?
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
No, they didn't.
Okay, well, hey, Tubby, get out, go away. I thought we got rid of you.
Yeah, you did.
Anyway,
let's not be disrespectful.
You're exactly right. He's a great man. Greensboro High Point is number four, and then Kansas City is number five. So no Memphis in the men's college basketball.
What's KC five?
I have no idea.
Oh, it just struck me. What I'm trying to figure out. It's all Kansas, right?
Yeah.
It's all Kansas fans at KC.
Okay, so let's move to women's basketball. This is women's college basketball.
This is why you're telling us this. This is why you've brought this to our attention, no?
I'd hope there's
because
a reason.
Because you didn't have Memphis in there. Let's go.
Number one, Hartford and New Haven. Yes. This is for women's college basketball.
UConn, hoops. Makes sense.
Number two, Knoxville. So Knoxville is number two for men and women, even though their women's basketball program right now is terrible. They're
it
about
is
to
not
fire
what it
hire
was.
Holly Warlick.
Yes, it feels like it.
Number three, Louisville. And number four, tied for number four, Birmingham and Memphis. Memphis is the number four, tied for number four market in the country for women's college basketball.
Applause is appropriate. I am proud. I'm trying to explain it.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I get Hartford and New Haven. I get Knoxville. Don't really understand Birmingham. Don't understand Birmingham either.
A lot of our girls' basketball talent from high school goes off to the SEC. So, I mean, that's part of it. A lot of Tennessee fans, you figure, Tennessee women's basketball fans in town just because of the state, figure. So you figure that's some of it. But still, to be that high in a city where, let's be real, you have no, you know, right now, you don't have a major women's basketball program. Well, successful, I'll put it that way.
They got some talent coming in.
Look, people are tweeting at me right now about Melissa and her job security and all that. Y'all got to know, they're going to give her this chance next year with these kids she's recruited from Arlington.
No doubt.
Like you can't, right? I mean, you can't fire her now when she's finally got this, you know, some solid talent from Memphis.
Absolutely.
Coming. You guys got to realize, I mean, I'm with you on the fact that it hasn't been acceptable. There's no question. You have to. When you are in a conference, again, I'm going to say this, a conference with UConn, which you just mentioned is number one market for you have an opportunity for people. People will care when you are in a conference. They want to be. You're not going to beat them, but you can be competitive. You can measure yourself against that, whether it's for one, two times a year.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. And so, look, it has not been good. But she's finally got a recruiting class. My point of telling you that is you got to know that AD over there is going to say, all right, well, let me see you with this one now that you finally got. Because, look, she thought there was going to be a turnaround with Aisha Jones, the transfer from UT Martin. You saw the tragedy. Marginata wrote about it, the tragedy that has been involved with her career just didn't work out. By the time she's ready to play, she's not even close to the player that she was at one time, one of the nation's leading scorers. So it just hadn't worked out. But y'all got to know they're not firing her before she gets those Arlington girls in there. Next year. Now, don't do anything with them. What are you waiting on?
Yeah, they were having it.
Like, it's time to win. It's time to be good in your conference. She's had that long enough. And now, hopefully, you know, you've got the talent in there. We celebrated when she signed them. Well, now you got to go win with them.
Yeah, surprised.
They're watching. That's what shows. Had something there, people would be, you know. I think there is, you know, is it going to pack out El Marone? Who knows? But again, probably not right off top.
Right.
But you can get that thing better than where it is right now.
Yeah, I mean,
she knows that too.
I guess I was surprised that Memphis came in to you know, in the top five of one and not the other. You know what I mean? Like, I would have predicted that if you're going to be top five in women's college basketball, I would assume it would follow suit in men's college basketball because Memphis is just more relevant this year than they've been in, you know, 5 years. But because Memphis used to be on top all the time. Like, you would read these press releases, and Memphis would be number one or number two. You know, they'd be right there every single time. I mean, for a long time, Tennessee-Memphis was the most watched game in college basketball history in 2008. So I am a little surprised that Memphis didn't come into the top five. But I don't know. They might be in the top 10. You know, I don't know. I don't have the full top 10. So
it's 4 4-stars and 1 3-star she's got coming in, including Lynetta and is it Lanice Williams? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Lynette and Lanice Williams over from Arlington. Madison Griggs, I think, from Houston.
Yep.
She's got a good class. Y'all got to know that AD over there is going to give her at least through that class in what she does next season before he makes any moves.
Absolutely. So, anyway, that was from ESPN this morning. I found it very interesting.
Next story.
All right. You should let me go first. Memphis Grizzlies fall 132-111. At Atlanta, they got drilled last night. And for a team that's been, you know, the NBA's best defensively, there wasn't much defense going on last night. It's unfortunate, too, because you waste a good game from CJ. He had 33, if I'm not mistaken, CJ Miles. And it's doubly tough because, as I told you, y'all laughed at me when I said I had an eye on this other NBA game last night, Orlando at Washington. You laughed at me then. You're not laughing now. I told you why I was watching because Washington, as bad as they are, is good at home. and they did just what I didn't want them to do, which was beat Orlando at home. So you missed an opportunity there to keep pace with Washington. Now, you still – look, this thing's getting down to the – you got 13 games left.
Yep.
Okay? You are in a good spot. There's no question about it. At seventh right now in terms of seventh worst record. You've got Washington coming up on Saturday, so another good opportunity. But you can't squander many of these, right? These type of opportunities against the lower tier teams of the NBA. If you want to be serious about conveying this pick, we all like the position they're in right now. Still think it's a likely thing. I think it's still a likely thing that they convey, because again, you're going to get Dallas twice. You've got a Golden State team at the end of the year, literally last game of the season, that may be sitting everyone as it prepares for the playoffs. So still opportunity to get to where you want to go, I think, and convey. Maybe even get to that 30-31 win plateau that would put you in there among the Lakers and those kind of folks, possibly.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was unfortunate to watch them go out there and get drilled last night, and I thought it was evidence of, all right, everybody thinks this is fun and competitive, mm-hmm. and you want to run it back with – well, here's them on another night at Atlanta, and you sort of see, you know, guys that you figured would be role players and have been role players for most of their careers looking like role players and not like stars. I'm not going to put it all on one Atlanta game and say, see, there, I told you so. But that's if you're going to make the three-game winning streak evidence of why this can work, then you certainly got to look at last night and be real with yourself and see why it couldn't. Work, why it won't work.
Bennett, we're going to need a statement.
No, that's unnecessary, because I don't want to put him in that position every day. You know what I'm saying? Where he's like defending that. There's, you know, I don't want to have to put him.
But
in
I mean, like, but don't
I give him
don't,
time to come but, over by himself.
But don't results impact?
If you keep attacking him, he's never going to come over.
I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just saying, don't results on the court matter to that plan?
Well, okay. A loss to an Atlanta team that's Trae Young's playing very well.
Yeah, but come on.
After you just beat at least two playoff teams of the three that you just beat, Orlando may end up becoming one. Maybe not after last night's loss to Washington. Doesn't that offset? You're one to Atlanta.
You got run off the floor, though.
You weren't supposed to beat Portland or Utah.
You don't have to get run off the floor, though.
It's one game. We talked about this the other day. It's at Atlanta after you have a couple days off. Like, teams sometimes struggle in that situation because they're in Atlanta, which is one of the more favorable places for NBA players to go out on the town when they're on the road in the NBA. And it's one game. And Valanciunas played bad. And he has not played bad since he's been here.
No, he has been good. He's been good for the most part. I think defensively, you saw last night with a team that loves to get up and down, mm-hmm. that a guy like that has limitations. And we know he does. And that's part of the reason why we think he's being beside Jaren, who's so good on that, helps offset that. And it gives you the toughness. Jaren ain't a great rebounder to this point. He's getting better, needs to get better. Jonas does that. Like, they kind of fit together. But you saw his defensive limitations last night, especially against teams that want to get up and down. And in this West, where you've got so many young teams, it's going to be like that all night long. I believe in Jonas. He's one of the pieces I say you keep. But last night you saw, you know, there'll be times when he's just because of the kind of player he is, that sort of throwback big, where he's not the best thing that you can do out there on the court. You're going to need other options that can get up and down the floor and defend and switch.
Yeah, so anyway, tough result for the Grizzlies last
night. They'll be watched on Saturday, right? Let's hope so.
Next story.
That's the hope. All right, Will Wade. Will Wade has released a statement to Sports Illustrated saying basically that he wants to coach and he's demanding due process. He is not... he has not complied with any interviews, right? He has declined to answer questions from his boss about what he did or did not do. So he's not complying with the due process, though he is demanding his due process rights. I'll just read a little bit of the statement. This morning, I advised President Alexander, Athletic Director Joe Oliva, and the LSU Board of Supervisors that I would like to resume my duties as head coach. Last week, when the university decided to place me on administrative leave, I accepted that decision without complaint, as I knew they wanted time to reflect on the flurry of media reports. With the benefit of a week to consider the circumstances, I believe university officials should allow me to resume my duties. He goes on. That's basically the gist of it. Will he be reinstated, Jason?
No.
Should he be reinstated, Jason?
Maybe if you say you didn't pay players.
Right, if you say you didn't do it.
All right.
But he hasn't said, yeah. He in nowhere in the statement does he say, I did not do it.
Mm-mm. No. I wonder, you know, much like we've said about Penny and having haters in the biz, you know, that might feel threatened or maybe it's not even threatened. Maybe you don't feel threatened at all, but maybe you just don't think he did it the way that's supposed to be done in college basketball, and sort of, you know, folks wanting to see him fall.
Yep.
I just wonder how much of Will Wade, what he's got going on, is some of that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Young coach who's come up
for
super
sure.
fast.
For sure.
And you know how recruiting works, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know what I mean? And you know how coaches talk about other programs. And look, Will got to pay the price. Like we said, you've got rules. We don't think they're great rules in the NCAA. Certainly some things that need to be changed, but you got them there for a reason. Right now, should the system be changed? Absolutely, it should. But you can't get caught with your hand in the cookie jar. He did, and to me, this is admitting by basically not even going into you're innocent
right.
in this. You say everything that
yep.
you're guilty, and you're more pointing at the system, which we all know is crooked. That said, you still got caught. You know what I mean? I mean you got to pay the price.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So don't expect to see Will Wade back on the sidelines for LSU. Certainly not this season, and probably not ever again, given the way that this thing has unfolded. So that is the latest. When we come back, Nathan Hoover is going to join us. He is a guard for the Wofford Terriers. They're going to the NCAA tournament. They cannot lose. They never lose. What is it, the 20-game win streak for them? So we will talk to Nathan Hoover about that. We will talk to him about winning the conference tournament, headed to the NCAA tournament. Lots more to come with Nathan Hoover. He's up next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Nathan Hoover. He's a Wofford junior guard, former Team Thad, M33M, and Arlington High standout. The guy was a baller, and he continues to be at Wofford this year because if you didn't know, he scored 20 in the second half of their championship game, led Wofford to the win and to the NCAA tournament. Nathan, man, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much. Just, you know, thanks for, you know, letting me be on the show. And just we're just all just excited, just waiting for Selection Sunday, waiting to see who we play.
What's this been like, man? To go, I mean, I think you're the only team, if I'm not mistaken, to go undefeated in conference play, then win your conference tournament. Not much, you know, not much room for error with you guys. If you'd lost, who knows? You don't want to leave in the hands. You figured you had an at-large. But has it been pressure-packed every night?
Yes, sir. It's been a very tough. Every game in our league is very tough. This is probably the toughest league it's been of all time. But we knew every night that it was going to be very hard for us because every team was trying to beat us because mm-hmm. we're ranked and everything like that. And plus the pressure of, you know, trying to stay undefeated in conference and stuff like that. But we didn't let it get to us. We did a great job keeping everybody, you know, under control and, you know, not worrying about all that kind of stuff and just worry about winning every game every single night.
Did you guys even talk about, hey, if we don't win the tournament, we still look good for an at-large, we're ranked, we've got a great resume, or was it all just focus on, no, let's focus on, this was our goal, let's win the conference championship?
We talked about it a little bit,
okay.
But we knew if we won our conference tournament, our seeding would be better. If you know, if
yep.
we just got an at-large, and we weren't going to chance it, we didn't want to be like, oh, maybe we'll get into the NCAA tournament because how good we're doing. But we weren't going to allow that to happen. So we came out every game, especially in the conference tournament, to win. And we didn't. And once
yep.
we got there, we didn't talk about anything else but the next game. And you know, we were able to win the championship, and you know, we're looking very good going into Sunday.
There's no question about it. Nathan, let me ask you this, man. Going back to the recruitment process before Wofford starting recruiting you, had you ever heard of Wofford?
No, sir, I have not. I did not hear about it until this one of the assistant coaches at the time of my senior year of high school, Tim Johnson. He's from Memphis.
Yeah.
And he's good friends with James Harvey, who is a trainer in Memphis I train with. So James referred me to him, and so that kind of got me hearing about Wofford. And then after the recruiting process happened, I went and took my visit there, fell in love with it, and the rest is, you know, the history.
What did you think of the campus? I mean, I gather it's a pretty intimate, a smaller campus. What did you think of everything?
I love it. I like how it is a smaller school, and how, you know, I'm very close with almost all my professors, all the teachers here. They love basketball. They, you know, going everywhere, everybody knows you. It's a lot of fun. I love it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
What's playing for Mike Young like, Nathan?
It's amazing. He's the most, he's an amazing coach. He's outside, off the court. He's a great person. He's a lot of fun. We're all like family to each other, and he's amazing. I don't think there's another, a better coach in the country.
Who was after you out of Arlington? Take us back.
I had Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. Virginia was looking at me. I know I'd offer some, I think, Western Kentucky, George Mason. I went to Belmont. Memphis was kind of looking at me. I'm not really sure. But I had a couple other schools. I can't remember right now. But Wofford was not after me that hard. But then once they all of a sudden took a lot of interest in me.
Yep.
And I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know, but I'm glad they did.
Yeah,
man, it's worked out great.
I got to ask you, as a Memphis kid, and maybe, you know, every kid is different, right? But for you, did you always want, you know, the offer from Memphis? How did you look at it?
Yes, sir. I always kind of, even if I didn't want to go there or didn't go there, I would still have loved the offer from Memphis because they're offering a bunch of my really good friends at the time, like Jalen Fisher, like Dietrich. Mm-hmm. And he already went there.
Yeah, he was
but
there.
But, yeah, I wanted to get that, you know, that offer. And, you know, just because it's such a, you know, Memphis is such a big town and so supportive of the college, especially basketball. And, it, you know, it's such a big basketball city. So I wanted that for sure, but I don't know. I guess it just didn't work out and it wasn't fit for their school.
What's it been like playing with Fletcher McGee, who's set to break the Division I record, you know, the all-time record for three-pointers made? You guys do a lot of the same things, and you talked about how tight you guys are as a team. I watch you two play together, and it looks like there's a real close bond, like maybe even took you under his wing when you first got there. What's that relationship like, and what's it been like to, man, to watch him knock down all these threes, dude?
It's amazing. Yeah, me and him spend so much time together in the gym.
Yeah.
Just me and him. And when I first came in, you know, I think a bunch of people saw him as like, you know, oh, it's Fletcher. And I knew he was a very great player.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew when I came in that I wasn't going to treat him like above me. I went at him every single day, and I told him, I was like, every single practice, even when I was a freshman to now, I was like, I'm going to push you to be the best player you can. And it's helped me and him both out.
Yep.
We both grew as players for sure, and it's made us so close together. And now I tell him every single day, no matter how good he shoots, that, you know, he still can't shoot better than me, and we go at it every single day.
I believe it, dude.
Yeah, it's amazing. I couldn't ask for a better teammate and a better friend.
We are, of course, talking to Nathan Hoover, Wofford guard, who is headed to the NCAA tournament. They won the SoCon tournament, and they own the nation's longest winning streak, so that is certainly very impressive. Have you always been this good of a shooter, though? Because, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. You're shooting like 46, 47%, and you take, you know, 5, 6 threes a game. Has this always been what you do?
I've always been able to shoot pretty good, but it's just, you know, it's just a lot of work, and you know, my dad has been the main person that, you know, he worked on my shot and made it perfect. I mean, there was times that, you know, it was just awful trying to make shots, and even like in high school, and even before that, he would make me, you know, make 10 shots in a row, or like to make 23s, and you can't be done until you make them all, and if you can't get them in a certain amount of shots, you know, I had push-ups, and then right after that, you know, I had to get up and start shooting again. So it was just so much repetition. And you know, just shooting all the time, which has made me be able to be such a great shooter.
You know, you mentioned it. Obviously, you guys are, like you said, you're ranked in the top 25. You're going to the NCAA tournament. You know, a lot of these, you know, these college basketball pundits have you guys as one of those mid majors who is poised to make some noise in the tournament. Just curious, like how intimate the campus is it just like taking over? Is it just like Terrier mania there on campus and in the city?
Yes, it's amazing. You know, we came back. We had fans. Outside of, you know, we have a break in between
on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 to 1. We pulled up at like 12 o'clock. We had students out there, you know, clapping for us. We went out and said hey to everybody. And then, you know, come back to my dorm. Our doors are all, you know, fixed up, saying congrats. So it's an amazing vibe right now around campus. And everybody on campus is hoping that we get the we are able to go to Columbia, so it'd be so close for us. But our fan base at the games and stuff, especially at the SoCon tournament, we had probably
intense.
5,000 or 6,000 fans.
Yeah,
it was insane. We brought like I think like 600-700 students, which is almost our whole school because we only have 1,400 kids that go here.
Wow.
And so it is. It's amazing. I can't believe that we have so much support from such a small town.
Nathan, I got to ask you because I did some research for this interview and I came across this picture of you on one knee in a gas station proposing to your teammate Ryan Larson. You're gonna have to explain this. What is the story behind this proposal? What on earth are you doing?
Well, that's our snack time. So after every away game win, we go to a gas station and we're able to get snacks. And before we get our actual snacks, we take a picture. And it's kind of gotten to the point now where we just don't grab regular stuff. We just try to grab whatever we can find just to take a picture. I mean, we've had coffee mugs. We've grabbed coffee pots, you know, coolers. We had all kinds of stuff. So I walked in, and I saw, like, a big, like, all these roses were sitting out. And I was like, man, I want to do something so funny. And it was after our first SoCon win, so we had to kind of spice it up a little bit. So I grabbed a rose, and I was like, Ryan, I'm acting like I'm proposing to you. He's like, okay. And then I had one of our, my other teammates, Storm Murphy, because I'm going to act like I'm like the usher or something. And so he grabbed like a flower, like a whole thing of roses and was standing behind us. It was the funniest thing ever, and everybody's talking about it.
Did he say yes? Did Ryan say
yeah,
yes?
He said yes. All right.
Well, congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor.
Nathan, I got to ask you one more. Take me back to your 14 AAA days. Guy that you love going against the most. You mentioned Jalen Fisher, what those battles you'd have with Tyler, your team, Thad, teammate. Who was your guy in 14 AAA you love to go against?
I probably would have to go with Jalen. I always knew that he's such a good player.
Yeah.
And always, every time I played him, we were going to go at it. And I made sure my coaches put me to guard him because I knew if I was able and us as a team were able to stop him,
yep,
then we had a very good chance of winning. But also the Bartlett games after I left Bartlett, those were always very fun games. And, you know, because I had a bunch of my lifelong friends that I still talk to today.
Sure.
Went to Bartlett.
Yep.
And so there was a lot of hostility and coming from that game. So those two games are definitely the best games I've played when I was in high school.
We are, of course, talking to Wofford guard and sharpshooter Nathan Hoover right here from Memphis. The Terriers are headed to the NCAA tournament after winning the SoCon tournament championship. Your program obviously has come close to winning in the tournament before. They narrowly lost to Wisconsin in 2010, lost by 3 to Arkansas in 2015. If this is going to be the year that Wofford does it and gets that tournament win, why is it going to happen? Why are you guys prepared to make noise in this tournament?
We right now our confidence level is very high right now, being 20, you know, having a 20 game win streak. So that helps us go into the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Our coaches do such a great job of preparing us for the games, but also we have such great players and we have so much confidence in each other and we enjoy playing so much. That's going to make it, you know, so make us so hard to beat. And plus with our inside presence with like Cam Jackson, Keve, Chevy, those guys do a great job in the inside and with me. And it's not just me and Fletch that can make shots. Storm Murphy's shooting, I think, above 40%. Trey Hollowell that comes off the bench shoots over 40%. So we have so many weapons that can get, you know, that we can attack you from, and it makes us so hard to guard.
No question about it. Man, we are rooting
Nathan,
for you here
in
Memphis.
Keep it up, brother. Proud of you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yep, we will talk to you soon. He is Nathan Hoover, Wofford guard, and like we said, headed to the NCAA tournament where, I tell you what, man, if Memphis doesn't get there, I got my team, bro. I mean, I'm rooting for Darryl Brown and Bradley as well, but I really look at Wofford as a team that can maybe, like, if they get in as a 12 seed, right,
mm-hmm.
like if they can get that 12, they'll be my pick to every year there's a 12 that beats a 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like Wofford. I really do. I mean, they've got the component. They've got the shooting. They got the experience. That's my adopted team, bro.
My man had 20
yes.
in the second half of the championship game, in the SoCon, okay?
Yes.
To win the game.
Yes.
He's not on the SoCon first, second, or third team. It's a snub.
It is a snub. It's unacceptable in many ways.
Get yourself together, SoCon Conference. Nathan Hoover's the third leading scorer on this team. He got the longest win streak in the nation, as John told you.
Yeah, so looking very forward to watching Wofford, obviously, in the NCAA tournament. Hard-earned for them. And, yeah, maybe this is the year they get over the hump.
Fletcher McGee needs three threes to be the all-time Division I leader in three-pointers.
Really?
Yeah. Three threes against in their first game of the NCAA tournament. He'll be all-time.
Wow.
I think it's Bader from Oakland. The record will break. Yeah, Travis Bader. Needs three more.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
This team's got shooting.
Dude, the whole team shoots like 50% from three.
That's what they do.
Crazy.
Huh? Yep. That's what they do.
Hoover fits right in.
No question about it. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Jeff Calkins will join us at 1:25. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The AAC tournament rolls on at FedEx Forum. First game is at the half. UConn is ahead 39-26. UConn, of course, led by the fiery Dan Hurley.
Huskies were favored in that game, too, but only slightly, a point and a half, I think.
Interesting. They were favored in that game, despite being the 9 seed.
As the 9 seed, yep.
Hmm. And below 500.
Mm-hmm. Game below 500.
So that Vegas must have known something that we didn't. So, yes, Jalen Adams is back for them. That's a big part of it, I would imagine.
That's it.
So they're ahead right now, 39-26. Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. The Tigers obviously will play as soon as this game is over. What is was it like a half hour in between games?
15 minutes, 30 minutes. Don't put me on the spot. Something like that. I'm not Eric was talking about this. I'm not sure why you schedule, you know, only put, you know, a lot 2 hours or whatever it is down. I think it's 2 hours a lot because it's going to take you a little longer than that. But, yeah, but you've got a break in the middle after the Memphis game before they start back up, I think, at 7 o'clock. So, no, it'll be fine.
Probably, yeah, they're on a good pace right now, you know. I mean, because it's 12.
They actually are.
It's 12:50 and they're at the half, you know. So they played those 20 minutes pretty quickly. So, anyway, Jeff Calkins will join us at 1:25. The Tigers will obviously take on Tulane as soon as that game is over and they have the, you know, whatever, however long the period is in between. Tigers will be up after that. 1 year ago today, Jason, Tubby Smith was fired.
Is that true?
One,
like today is the date?
Down to the day. March 14th, 2008, history was made at the University of Memphis. This is obviously the move that led to the hiring of Penny Hardaway. But yes, this was the day where he came out of the president's office and he said, you know, yep, I'm no longer the coach at Memphis. This was the day 365 days ago.
What does this look like if he's still the coach?
Terrible.
Depressing. How do you know they didn't win big?
They didn't. They wouldn't have.
How you know he didn't get on a run?
He didn't. He wouldn't have. It would have been depressing. And there would have been no excitement, and they wouldn't.
Well, there'd be no Tyler, probably.
No, there would not have been Tyler. There
definitely
would have been
no Alo. No Antoine Jones.
No Antoine Jones.
That was Penny. No Isaiah Maurice.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what you'd have had with those guys that were back.
Myron Jones and Connor Vanover.
Well, and Jamal Johnson still be here.
Yeah.
Not David Nickelberry, though, I don't think. He was out, seemed like.
Yeah, exactly.
Never mind. That's an exercise in futility, isn't it? No need to do that anymore.
I mean, do you, sounds like you prefer that team.
Oh, no, no, just saying, where would it be? Because, look, it'd be
in the fifth circle of hell.
I think we're all a little bit shocked by the actual butts and seats number that we saw reported from the Commercial Appeal this year, you know, that they've doubled attendance, but that it's still below 9,000 in terms of actual butts and seats on average attendance. All that said, you still know it's headed in the direction you wanted it.
What would Tubby say if he saw that news about it, that it was only doubled? What do you think he'd say? Do you think he'd laugh?
No.
You don't think he'd laugh?
I mean, I don't think that's something you would, I mean, you would look back and laugh on when you know it's headed up.
Now, they clearly, I mean, obviously they made $2 million more in ticket sales year to year. So it's not even a debate. But I guess, you know, when you're talking about the attendance, right, the fact that it only doubled as opposed to tripling, I think that part is a little surprising. A little surprising. I'm not disappointed. But I think maybe you just, with all the hysteria, right, and all the hoopla about Penny Hardaway getting the job, I maybe would have expected, 10,000, because they're not going to get the full Grizzlies payout.
Mm-hmm. Need to be 10,000.
And we'll talk about that with Jeff, but they're not going to get the full 800,000 from the Memphis. They'll get some payment, right? They missed it completely last year, I'm pretty sure, right? So they will not miss it this year. But they're not going to get the full 800,000. They will next year, though. There's little doubt about that. Once you enroll James Wiseman in that number six recruiting class, which will buy everything improve.
It's the number they're reporting in terms of actual butts and seats. It's what they have, but 8,800 for Cincinnati? Like, does that sound right?
No.
Felt like there were more in the building. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, their turnstile count could be off, you know? I don't know which one's more, you know, I suppose that one's going to be more accurate.
16,363 announced actual butts and seats, 8,841 for Cincinnati. I mean, you've doubled up basically on the announced.
Right.
That said, it felt like more than 8,800 in there for Cincy. Just weird. That's where I usually you got a pretty good grasp. We've been in that building for a while now, and you got a pretty good grasp of how many people are in there when you're sitting there. For that Cincy game, the place felt packed. It certainly felt like more than 10,000. So it's the individual numbers of these games that I'm like, well, really?
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel that way. It felt fuller.
Do you have the numbers in front of you?
Yeah, for each game. I would be from the commercial field.
What's the biggest one? Tennessee, I'm imagining?
Tennessee was the actual was 15,857. Yes, by far that looks like the biggest actual butts and seats. That announced was 18. They announced sellout. Remember? 18,
we had this big conversation about where
what,
it ranked.
What a new official sellouts were, yes. And how, what was the game that wasn't a sellout?
Tennessee, Memphis 08.
Yeah, right, exactly, which didn't make any sense at all.
That game, you know.
Your next biggest, I'm talking about actual butts and seats after Tennessee, take a guess on who it was. I just told you, and you could take one out with Cincy down at 8,800. 8,800.
Tulane on senior night? Or, sorry, Tulsa on senior night?
That's it. 11,643, 17,000 were announced. I mean, what is the
disparity? How do you
decide to double up on Cincy, and then, you know, where does it, the numbers just, they're so random the way they, I thought there were more people in the building than Cincy. That point, am I disappointed? Not really, because I know where it's headed.
Right.
Yes, am I a little surprised at these numbers? Yeah, a little surprised they're this low. Thought they were higher because you're literally in the building and it feels like more people.
Right.
Not going to say these are wrong numbers.
Yeah.
This is what they're reporting. And why would you report something this low if it's not the case?
Yeah.
This is clearly it. And so, again, the surprise is that, man, I felt like there were more people in the building than that. Yeah. That's the surprise. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made up fine. $2 million, as Rudd says.
Jeff Calkins will join us at 125. We'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.